said. And so I'm going to Matthew 25, and I want to read this, and then I'll go over. I just have a few things I want to pull out of this. Okay, thank you, Father. When the kingdom of heaven shall come, kingdom shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. But while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there not be enough for us, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." But he answered and said, "Surely I say unto you, I do not know you." Those have got to be some sad words. We're all waiting for the bridegroom. This is the church. The world's not waiting for him. But they slumbered and slept, and they never got to know him. If you don't have oil, you don't have light. And if you don't have light, you can't see clearly. And we can come to a group like this. We are to be the light. But if I come here and I don't have light, I get to look at your light. And that's fine. That's how people come in. They get to see our life. They get to see our light. And that's good. But at some point, you need to find the light, source of light, and make it yours. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be able to carry your own light. And in the end, that's going to, we will know those who actually know the light giver. They know the life where the source comes from, and those who are just kind of hanging around. And I don't want to just be hanging around. I want to be part of that. The other thing I want you to take note of is that they slept. Slumber and slept. 1 Thessalonians 5. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that that day shall not overtake you as a thief. For you are the sons of light, the sons of the day. You are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Kind of describing what I said. We are to be the light. We have the source of light, and we're to stand in the light. And let us not sleep. If you're sleeping, you're not really concerned about something. I mean, if there's an emergency going, that's not the time to take a nap. If there's something serious happening, that you don't just run and go take a nap. We take a nap when things are peaceful. But there's a false peace when they're saying peace and safety. And we need to know the difference between what God is saying and what the world is saying. And we need to have light that's our own light. That's through the connection. So the question I wanted, what I'm going to go to about this, though, is how do you stay awake? How do you stay? Last time I really asked you guys to stay engaged, to get engaged. How do we get engaged in our life so that we don't slumber and sleep? And I'll just tell you some of what I've been doing or where I'm going, and I think it'll help. I think when you are moving from, let me say it this way. Do you think Queen Esther, she was confused until that day came when it was for such a time as this? She had to wonder, how did I go from this to the queen? What's going on? I'm here, I'm doing it. But the day that she understood, this is why I'm here, everything in her stirred. Now I know why I'm here. Now I know I've moved. I think David did that. David served quietly and peacefully by himself. Nobody saw the bear and the lion. Nobody heard him playing the harp. But when the day came for him to rise, he did. And I think the day he sat there and picked up Goliath's head, this is why I'm alive. Something in him stirred. That was his time. This is my moment. Noah, I mean, this guy builds a boat for 100 years. I know he's going, okay, I'm working on faith here. The day it started to rain, he's like, got it. Yeah. It worked. It's real. Now I know. I mean, I think we know by faith, but you need to know it at that point. It's yours. And at that point, you're not sleeping. You're not slumbering. You're not being anything but going, wow, I got it. Elijah, look at Elijah. He's up there. When his fire fell, after all the demonstrations, and he calls, okay, God, send your fire. Boom. Got it. I know. I knew it by faith. I've got it in reality. How about Paul? He'd been out killing Christians, and the day he met Jesus, that was a beautiful day for him. It cleared everything up. He's like, I got it. I know why I'm alive. I know what I'm to do. I want to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah is serving the king. He hears about Jerusalem, and he asks the king, can I go and help rebuild the wall? And he goes over and he sees it, and the king blesses it, and he's there building the wall. And I think when he's building that wall, he realizes that's why I was in the king, presence of the king. It's because there was a job for me to do. There was something that was my call. You know you're in the right place at the right time when that moment comes and you're stirred. One thing I do want to point out with Nehemiah, and if we go to Nehemiah 4:17, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens labored themselves so that one hand they worked on the construction and the other one they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had a sword girded to his side, and one who sounded the trumpet was beside them. We are to build God's kingdom, and we're also to defend. And I think that's important, especially right now. And I don't think I would have said that 10 years ago, or maybe 6 months ago. I never even thought about that. But I do think there's a time when stuff comes that I need to stand. And I mean physically stand, not just pray, but physically stand and say, not in my town, not in my home, not in my state. I'm going to pray, but I'm physically going to be there. And you're not tearing down my monuments. I will defend them. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know that I have the light, I have passion, and I will defend it. But I'm building the kingdom. Don't forget, we're building kingdom, but there's a time to defend. So how do we know what your call is? Because we need to move. We need to move from jobs to calls. We don't work for money. We live from our call. For years, I didn't do that. And I think there are seasons where we have jobs that God gives us. And I'm not judging anybody for where you are. I just want you to ask yourself, am I in my call? That will keep you awake. You're not going to slumber and you're not going to go to sleep if you're passionate about what you do. What inspires you? Because I know this is something that a lot of people struggle with. So what inspires you? What makes you come alive? Have you moved from a call or from a job to a call? And when you're doing that, it may look different than other people's. I had, some years ago, we had a Rottweiler and a German Shorthair Pointer. And I was out in front of our place, walking through the field, and probably 300 yards away or so, a neighbor's dog barked. And the Rottweiler, of course, interested on guarding. What's going on? I'm watching, checking it out. I don't know if you guys know about German Shorthair Pointers, but when they're hunting and they see another dog on point, they honor the point. So my pointer is, dink, honoring the Rottweiler. I sat there and laughed and just said, wow, what an example. Something happened. The Rottweiler went into protection mode. The pointer went into hunt mode. They're different. So sometimes something can happen in our lives and you can go, man, I just feel so urgency to do this. Somebody else is like, really? I don't get that at all. I feel like it's okay. Just stay in the light. All right? We can be different, but stay in the light. God's made us different. And these two dogs had a totally different response to the same noise. But they were both living from what God made them to be. And that's what I'm challenging you. Are you living from what God made you to be? Are you walking that out? Is what you're doing bringing you life? Yeah. And we need to go where you go, I go. We need to follow because our seasons do change, and I recognize that. God does call us to position, and at some point he may call us to move. And so we can't sit here and go, well, I know he called us. Yes, he did, but that was 20 years ago. You might want to check with him today, you know. Be sure you follow. Be sure you're aware of your season. Be sure you stay in the light. Be sure you stay sober, especially in these days. These aren't days we can goof around. There's no time for sleeping. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to predict that, you know, the end of the world's right now, but I am saying it's important that we stay awake. And it's important that we know where the light comes for us and we have our own. One thing that will stall us from finding our purpose is our past. We went to Oregon to see my parents a few weeks ago, well, for Father's Day. And coming home, well, first I want to say, this last January I got hit in the rear. I had an accident, pretty bad accident in January. I was stopped, cars turning left, truck behind me. 3-quarter ton truck with a loaded trailer hit me. I hit the truck in front of me, and it was a big squish. And I saw it in my mirror. I saw it coming, and it's like, they're going to hit me. And thank God I had a second to scoot back in my seat, put my head against the rest, pulled my feet in, and wham. And so my back and neck have been messed up, but not near what it could have been. Hadn't really thought about that. Driving back from Oregon, Father's Day, going through Spokane, 4-lane road, and they narrow it down to 1-lane. I'm all, great, you know, it's taking forever. Behind me is a truck. I look in the mirror, and I'm looking in my mirrors, and we're slowing down because they squeezed us in, and he's not really slowing down. And my blood pressure's starting to rise, and I'm watching that mirror. And inside, part of me saying, shoot through the cones. Get out of the way. You know, do something, but don't get hit again. That was not in my mind. I didn't sit and think about that the whole trip. Actually, I didn't think about it at all until I looked in the mirror and saw a grill the same way I saw a grill before. And my past suddenly became my future. Except it was false. He was slowing down. But I felt like I was going to get hit. And I sat there and thought about it. And I thought about, I said, God, what is this? And that is how our subconscious works. It takes account of our pain. It also takes account of our pleasures. And you may have done something that was pleasurable but very addictive. And it goes, it doesn't make the decision good or bad. Our subconscious is a real powerhouse, memory house, but it doesn't tell you what's good or bad. That's up here. So we have to govern it, and we have to override it. And sometimes what God is calling us to, our subconscious says, yeah, but last time that didn't work. Last time that failed. Last time, look what happened. And it doesn't do it in our face. It just subconsciously moves us away. It gives us a reason. Well, I don't think it's my time. I don't think really that's what God wants. Or I'll do it later. And we don't even understand that our subconscious is trying to protect us, but we have the ability with our mind, especially as it's being renewed. Remember, let this mind be in you. That mind needs to be connected to heaven, so heaven's thoughts are what drive us. So as you're searching for your passion, as you're searching for what I'm to do now, be aware of your past. Be aware, is there anything in my past that's taken me out? Is there anything that's sabotaging my call? And please be honest with that and then seek help. If you need to pray with somebody, you need to talk about, man, I had this abuse, I've had this addiction, I've had these things, take care of it. Because it's out to sabotage. Our subconscious mind will destroy us. It can also be very powerful when it is under control of our conscious mind. It's a powerhouse. It's a wonderful thing. But be aware. I've had to do that in my life. I've had problems in my life that I've had to overcome in order to be free to move forward. The last few years, I have felt like there has been a change. In fact, the word I got last fall for 2020 was change. I always pray, God, what's your word for the year? And it's change. And I'm thinking, change? Well, I'm, you know, did I get a new truck or what? You know, I'm thinking good things. I had no idea the world's going to melt down. Change. But for some time, God's been speaking to my heart about change in careers. And I have sold real estate and in construction for years. Construction the most of the time. Building houses, working on houses. And there have been times when I have stopped and looked at it. There's been times when I have done other little things that I really enjoyed, but my subconscious came in and would sabotage them. And my past. And so now, the last year or so, I've really been praying about this. And God, what do you want me to do? I just turned 59 on the 27th of June, and it's like I'm into the fourth quarter where I don't have time to play around. I don't have time to say, well, someday I'll do something. If I'm going to do it, I need to get on with it. I don't want to start this at 80, you know. I want to do what God's calling me. And now this is a call today. I'm not saying I failed all that time, but I don't know that I followed. I moved where he said, and I don't know that I kept up. That's why I've said that. I keep up with what he's calling. Keep up to what God is asking you to do. And it could be a move across the country. When I moved to Montana, that's partly my nature. I'm kind of an adventure guy. I packed up my family, quit my job, loaded up the truck, the trailer, and it was like, where are you moving? Montana. Do you have a house to rent it? Nope. Do you have a job? Nope. Where are you going? Kalispell. That's all I knew. Not a lot of people move across the country with actually nothing there waiting for them. But I just knew I was to go. And, God provided. But I'm a little bit of an adventurer and do things like that. But listen, I guess that's my point. Listen and don't be afraid. What is your call? Where are you to move? What are you to do? What job, back to engage again, what are you to be doing in your life to prepare for Christ's coming? It might involve change. It might involve things that are uncomfortable. So I feel like God is calling me, and I'm saying this publicly because it's partly going to hold me accountable. just over a week ago, I signed up for a life coaching class. I love people, and I love to inspire. And I haven't done it much. And I have a vision of where I want to take that, but this is going to be a tool in the belt. And so it's online and then live calls, and eventually you go some training. And so I'm still helping with our business. Kate's primarily doing a lot of it. Give her credit for that. Thank you, dear. Because I'm going to be spending time trying to study and move into not just life coaching, but I actually have some ministry things that I feel that I want to get started on. And so I'm doing what I'm asking you to do. I guess that's why I'm telling you, because sometimes preachers will say, go do this, and then they can do the opposite. I'm stepping out into change. We're stepping out into our income has dropped in half, because we had this and we had construction. That's gone now. Our income's half. And I could say, oh, I can't live on that. Well, I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but we will do it, because I'm going to follow the light. I'm going to follow my calling. And so I want to challenge you to follow your calling. It's not based on money. It's based on right here in your heart. God, where do you want me? I think we are close to the last days. And when they come, I want to be faithful so that I can stand before him. I want to be the one who has light and knows it. So I'm moving that way, and I'm looking forward to it. We need to know Jesus. So in kind of a recap, we need to know Jesus. We don't want to be asleep without oil. We need the light, and we need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes with power. If what you're doing, wherever you're at or where you're changing to, it needs to come with the power. We are not dead. We're not just words. We are power. And our words carry power, and our ministries carry power, and our job should demonstrate power. And that's from the Holy Spirit. You need to know your calling, your destiny, I guess you could say. Some people like calling your destiny. Do you know where you're going? If you're not sure, stop and back up. Seek people. Ask for some help. Ask people around you, what do you see? This is what I feel. Get people around you to help mentor you. That's partly what I want to do as I continue in what I'm doing, is to help people move, help them guide them into their callings. I think we're really going to need that with where our world is. People's jobs, lives are upside down. They don't know what to do. And if you can find your calling, it doesn't really matter what's happening in the world. If I'm doing what I'm meant to do right now, that's what I need. That's it. God will help us navigate through the world, whether it comes back together or continues to fall apart. But I want to know that I'm walking it out and where I'm supposed to be. And then, so we have spirit, mental, and then physical. Be prepared. And I'm not going to sit here and say buy guns and ammo, or don't buy guns and ammo, or buy whatever. But whatever you feel like you need to do, be prepared. We're not... I mean, you can go back. Just go back through the Bible. There are times that people needed to prepare. We need to have skills. And whatever that means for you, I'm not here to discuss that. But I think we need to be ready spiritually, physically, and mentally. And then we'll be a force to be reckoned with as this world. Because there is a revival coming. And I would hope the revival would come in a more easy time. But if it has to come under persecution, so be it. We're going to still have a revival. The way we're going to have our revival is by each of us living from our call. That's why I'm pushing this, because we've got to get to our call, not our job, our calling. And then when revival comes, we're in place. The harvest is ready. And I hope we can do it outside of persecution, but so be it if it is. I'm not going to change. I'm still going to live it. I'm still going to go forward. And my heart is heavy for our country right now. And Mara was reading my mail when you were praying for our country, because that is how I wanted to end this, is I want my wife to come up, and I want her to pray for our country, and then I want to, if anybody else wants to pray, I'll have the mic here, and let's just spend a few minutes praying for our country. And while they're doing that, I want to be available if you're... Colleen's not here, so I guess Nathan or I, if you're wrestling with past things, come up and talk to us. Okay? Nathan or me. Or my wife is something, if it's women related and you're uncomfortable, talk to Kate. If you're struggling with where you want to go, I haven't started my classes yet, but I'd be glad to share what I got, because I really think it's important that we find that call. In the meantime, I'd like to be praying for our country. This is an important time, and I can't. Some of the things I looked up, you know, there's that Bible verse that talks about the dumb dogs that don't bark. I don't want to be a dumb dog. I don't want this church. I don't think we are. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's too many people who are just laid back and relaxed, and this is not the time. There is a revival coming. I want to be ready, and I want each of you in your position, whatever it is. So, thank you, and let's be what God's made us to be. Honey, why don't you come up and pray, please? And then anybody else you would like to pray? There's the mic.